This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads, and welcome to Speed City. Man, we are excited tonight. We have one of the best race drivers on the planet on the show tonight. We got Marcus Ericsson going to be on the show tonight.
Exciting year, isn't it, for him?
Finally. Yeah. Well, this is John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. We're all in studio tonight here in Austin, Texas, and we're excited about that. We got Marcus Ericsson on. We also have a young driver, Jacob Abel, going to join us later this evening, and we're going to talk about Formula E that kicked off the season. We're going to talk about, there's a little Formula E sounds for you, Jonathan.
No!
I think that was just a golf cart.
I think it was at the dentist, wasn't it?
Anyway. That's what it reminds me of. Instead of tooth act, guys. No thanks.
We're going to do a little Formula One 2019 season preview, and we're going to try to squeeze in a little IndyCar preview of the season as well. We got a lot on the show tonight, so we'll see how all that works out. But we're going to start with Formula E because it was kicking off their fifth season. It's hard to believe it's fifth season. I kept thinking it was the fourth season, but fifth season kicked off this weekend in Saudi Arabia, of all places.
I find that almost ironic, you know, because Saudi Arabia is so known for petroleum products and we've got electric racing there.
Yeah, you can't be the first person to think that either. But
it
kicked off the season. And really, it was kind of interesting because, well, right off the bat, BMW won with Andretti Motorsport, right?
Which is incredible. It's their first race.
Yeah, their first race.
They've been involved for the last couple of seasons, but this is their first time as a sort of partner with Andretti, yeah.
Yeah, and think about that. Contrast that to Formula One. A brand new team coming in, winning. You know, I mean, you got to give them credit for that.
And, you know, let's face it, we set this up to be following United States exploits in motorsport internationally, and here we are. Andretti Autosport from good old USA are the leading manufacturer with Antonio Felix da Costa, of course, who was a Formula One. Well, he's...
Yeah, what's his background?
His background, he's Portuguese. He was a Red Bull reserve driver for a while. He never made it to Formula One, but he was so talented on the way up. He won Macau a couple of times. Really, really good driver. Fantastic driver, in fact. And he should have had an opportunity in Formula One, I think. And I certainly think he's as talented as anybody on that grid. And that's saying something because there's, you know, Felipe Massa now joining... Formula E. That's going to be a big thing, actually, to have a veteran like Felipe with such a following. You know, I mean, literally half a corner away from winning a world title in Formula One. So they've got some big names, and they've always have done. That's actually been one of the biggest things going for Formula E, if you like, is the fact that they've attracted good drivers. But then again, you know, a lot of cynics would say it's somewhat of a graveyard for guys who don't get into Formula One or you know, have been locked by the wayside. People like Sam Bird and Alex, you know, Felix da Costa. So, you know, Antonio Felix da Costa. So, you know, that's a cynic's approach, but, you know, there is a fair bit of comment there because there's a lot of drivers there. You know, Ollie Rowland, Lotterer, of course, from WEC, and a few others.
And think about the driver, the role in Formula E versus Formula One. It's got to be bigger because in Formula One, we were talking about this a week or two ago, how the car in Formula One makes up so much of the performance, right? But in Formula E, the cars being a lot closer, all these amazing drivers, they got a chance to shine a little bit and make a bigger difference than compared to Formula One.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm glad to see that they finally got a battery worthy of the series, because that was a bit of a gimmick, if you like, because they had to change cars because they didn't have a battery life long enough to last the race. And that kind of defeated the object in some ways, in my opinion. So
they've got the bigger battery. It's almost double last year. I think it's 250 kilowatt, which if you use that, and we're also used to hearing like the Tesla numbers, right?
Right.
P100 is 100 kilowatt battery and so on. And like the Leaf and the Volt, I think the Leaf has like a 40 kilowatt or maybe 50, something like that. So this is 250 kilowatt. Now I'm surprised that the performance numbers aren't higher because obviously it's gearing and things like that. But I think the top speed is roughly 185 miles an hour and 0 to 60 is like 2.7 or 2.6 seconds, which, you know, you've got Teslas that'll do that. And if you compare that to the upcoming Tesla Roadster,
oh yeah,
the numbers are staggering on that new Tesla Roadster. The 0 to 60 is 1.9, top speed of 250 miles an hour, quarter mile in 8.8 seconds. Now, this is still all on Tesla's website and what they're predicting, but they've been spot on so far. I'm not going to doubt them.
I'm thinking you people that have the Dodge Demons ordered, better watch out for that one.
Yeah, you need to get a full-on set of slicks for the Demon.
Yeah.
Before I go into why I don't like Formula E, I don't want to go back to the drivers for a second. Jean-Éric Vergne, of course, ex-Formula One. They've got Massa this year. Stoffel Vandoorne has joined this year. Obviously, another ex-Formula One driver. Felipe Massa's joined in. But they've got people like Jose Maria Lopez, who was a World Rally Car driver and World Champion. Touring Car champion, and they've also got Felix Rosenquist, who's in IndyCar this year, the Swede, and also Gary Paffett, who of course has been a DTM champion. So there's some real good talent. There's no question about it. Another interesting thing they had 3 days testing before the first round in Saudi Arabia, and they invited a bunch of female drivers, including Catherine Legg, Pippa Mann, Simona Di Silvestra, Tatiana Calderon, all to try out the car. And they did, you know, various pretty good stuff. I'd like to say it's smart move by them, given that the women's series is coming, to get as many women involved in that. And of course, Saudi Arabia, obviously, now they've got women driving, they want to kind of promote a female driver and female drivers. So that was kind of their instruction, if you will. They wanted that to happen. And so we got a bunch of female drivers testing in Formula E. Hopefully we'll get some involved in the series.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, I mean, we kind of laugh at the restrained performance, though, you know, keep in mind, one of the sales pitch or the big selling points of this series is they can run it downtown
in
all major cities.
That's the big thing, yeah.
And so, you know, think of the runoff that is engineered into a legit circuit, permanent circuit. You don't have that in downtown cities. Not without shutting down highways and using those. And they're not, you know, I'm not sure they're going to get to that point, but I get it. It's probably much more exciting for the drivers than the spectators at this point still. Anytime you drive anything to its limit, even if it's, you know, three-cylinder Yugo, it's fun.
Yeah, I think the drivers probably enjoy it. I have to say, I hand on heart here. I've tried to get into it. I've tried to be a fan of it. I just don't like the gimmicks. I don't like this sort of the fan boost for one. I don't like this new thing they've got, which is a sort of
attack mode.
Obviously they're going down the video game route.
Yep.
But I don't like it. And frankly, the biggest thing of all is the noise. I just cannot stand. Here it is.
You know,
I mean, scratch your hands. Your hands down a chalkboard. It's just not motor racing to me, and it doesn't sound good.
I was thinking that there might be, when I was listening to it on television, I thought, or actually on YouTube, so I was watching it, and that's cool that you can watch it live on YouTube, but I was listening thinking, well, maybe if they put a microphone like right in the motor, real close to it, but and then we found these sounds tonight, and I'm going, that doesn't work for me. I'll admit, when I hear them on the street, when I hear a regen on streetcars, I think it's kind of cool, but what you just said, I agree. The sound is just awful.
Well, and I say, hey, make it a synthetic sound. I mean, call Ridley Scott. He did Blade Runner. Find out. Yeah, that's a
young.
It needs something. It really does need somebody. Nice work, Casey. But it really does need something.
Cards, bicycle spokes? I don't know.
No, but I do think a synthetic sound could really help.
Okay, there's plenty of precedent for that already because streetcars have been doing it for several years now, piping
in
a synthetic sound through the car speakers.
Yeah, on electric cars.
I thought that was just the six-cylinder Mustangs.
Like you said earlier, it's like a video game. Why not? I mean, I don't know what else to do because that sound that we're listening to...
It doesn't do it for me.
You're right. I'm just thinking, is it numb? When's the last time you flossed?
Dear Ridley Scott, we need some help.
But you know, the other thing, you talk about the positives is that you can race them in cities and all that stuff. But the other is that, I mean, we're seeing auto manufacturers saying right now, they're saying we're no longer investing in internal combustion technology and we're not going to have cars. How many manufacturers have said this now? Two or three?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So all this technology, we're used to cars, race cars trickling down the technology mm-hmm. to the street. Well, here they are doing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the important factor is that it's not going away. Get used to it. It will find its way. It will find its home. I still think it's early days yet. But as you say, the manufacturers have already voted. And there's even a support series of Jaguars, basically Jaguar iCars, iPace, I think it is. But that to me, the touring car side of it, TCR are looking at it as well. I think electric car racing, especially in touring cars, is probably more, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing than maybe single seaters. Maybe that's my just because. But frankly, right now the only sound I really like is the IndyCar sound because I don't like the Formula One sound either. I think that's sadly taken away from the Formula One sport too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, guys. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Marcus Ericsson, interview with him. Really excited about one of the best drivers on the planet. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Listen to your favorite shows. Keep up with the latest breaking news and more anytime at talk1370.com. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hey, I'm Tanner Faust, one of the hosts of Top Gear, and thanks for listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
All right, gearheads, we're going to go straight into it. We're really excited because Marcus Ericsson, as you know, been in Formula One. He's been on the show several times. In fact, he sat in studio with us.
He did.
At one of our Formula One broadcasts. He sat in for a few minutes out at COTA. But Marcus Ericsson, he's been a friend of the show. We interviewed him out when he was here at COTA for this 2018 United States Grand Prix. But Jonathan and I sat down with him yesterday and really excited to talk to him about his IndyCar season and his and the rest of it, and potentially, you know, what he's going to still do in Formula One. So let's hear from Marcus Ericsson now.
Okay, Speed City fans, delighted to welcome back on the show Marcus Ericsson, who has got a new adventure. We spoke to him at Formula One, but now he's got a whole new thing ahead of him because he's just joined Schmidt-Peterson Racing to do the full Indy season in 2019. Marcus, we talked a little bit in November about that possibility, but now it's come true. Tell us your feelings, first of all, about joining Indy.
I'm super excited, to be honest. It's a great series that I've been following from the outside, but seems like, you know, it's really been getting stronger and stronger the last couple of years as well. A lot of very, very good drivers, but also, you know, the series itself presents really great racing, different types of racing, and most exciting from my point of view is just the fact that it's a proper driver series where, you know, one spec cars means that you as a driver can make a difference. And that's, some of the things that's really got me excited about IndyCar.
Well, Marcus, being one of the best drivers in the world, we're really excited to have you here in an American series. What are your expectations? A lot of F1 drivers have come to Indy and done really well. What are your expectations for 2019?
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting to be able to fight at the front, but I don't want to underestimate the challenge because, you know, I would be new. It's a new country, new series, new tracks. Everything would be new for me. But I'm not going there to sort of make up the numbers. I want to be up there and fight at the front of the field. And I know I will have a great team behind me there with Schmidt-Peterson. So the aim is definitely to fight for podiums and wins. And right from the start.
Marcus, there's a nice full circle for you in some ways that many people might not know about. And Kenny Brack, who, of course, won the Indy 500, was one of the first guys to kind of recognize you. And, of course, you're going to be sitting alongside an old karting buddy of yours, Rosenqvist. And I hear you've even got close proximity to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of Swedish connections going on at the moment. So, yeah, like you said, first of all, with Kenny, he was the one that helped me out from go-karts into cars back when I was a teenager. And he managed me for quite a few years during the beginning of my career. So that would be fun. You know, I obviously, when I was a kid as well, I was following his career in IndyCar. So that would be very cool to sort of follow in his footsteps that way. And then, yeah, with Felix joining as well, it's first of all, a fun thing that it's two Swedish guys, you know, moving over there. And then, yeah, he actually told me about this apartment building that he was going to rent an apartment in Indianapolis. And when I was over there a month or so ago, I went and had a look in the same apartment building and found a really nice apartment. So we're going to actually live in the same building from 1st of January, which is quite funny.
Viking invasion in Indianapolis. Big exactly. Headline. I can see it now. Well, that's great, though. And also, Stefan Johansson, of course, he'll be helping Rosenqvist. So you've got a little community there of very knowledgeable people about how it works in Indy, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's a good group. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun. And hopefully all of us will be successful and have a good year there in 2019.
Well, Marcus, I got to ask you about the Indy test that you did recently. I think that's got to be super exciting. But what were your impressions of the car and the differences between F1?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very different type of car compared to the F1 of 2018. I think the biggest things, you know, straight away when you jump in the car is it's obviously without the power steering, it's quite different the way you drive it because you have to sort of hustle it a lot more in the corners and, you know, put a lot more effort in the steering wheel. But it also means you feel everything a lot more. So that's something that was quite nice that I had missed a bit in F1. You know, you really get that feeling through the steering wheel about what the car is doing. And that was, a very different feeling. But I enjoyed that, to be honest. And then obviously the IndyCar is a bit of a bigger car and not at all as much downforce on it. So you could feel in the cornering speeds were quite a bit lower. But like I said, you know, you still had to work really hard to sort of get the car around the corners. And it was really like a enjoyable experience. You know, I really enjoyed every lap out there. And it was more that, you know, you had to sort of work the car around the corners and instead of like in F1 where it feels more like you have to sort of put it all together because the car will be very close to perfect in balance. So it was quite a bit different, but overall very, very positive.
Well, we talked to you when you were here in Austin for the Formula One United States Grand Prix, but you're going to have a leg up on a bunch of these Indy guys when you come here to Austin because you've been on Circuit of the Americas several times.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Like, all the tracks on the calendar were completely new to me, and all the other guys have been there for ages, and then we come to Austin, and I will be the other way around. It's a track where I've been like a few years now, and none of the IndyCar guys have been there. It's quite funny. I'm guessing I have the pressure on for that weekend at least.
Well, listen, Marcus, I got to ask you, because everybody gets asked all the way back to Nigel Mansell's days, you know, how will you deal with the ovals? Every Formula One car driver that comes over to Indy always has that sort of, that's going to be the big question mark. But having said that, more recently, when I look at what Alex Rossi's done and to a certain extent what Alonso did, they equipped themselves well. What's your anticipation or, apprehension about that?
First of all, I'm really looking forward to trying oval racing because it's something that I've been, looking from the outside. It's always been something that's been very exciting for me to sort of watch. And also, ever since my start of my career, I've always been like the tracks that has a lot of high speed corners is the tracks I love the most and the tracks where I'm usually the strongest because I've always been very strong in high speed corners. So that's why, I think that ovals can really be my cup of tea sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect. But then also, everyone obviously is a very different type of racing. So I'm definitely going there, with a humble feeling there about the ovals, and I need to learn everything from scratch. And I have a great team there to learn from and a great teammate in Hinge to learn from as well. But I'm sure if I work hard and then, prepare myself well, I'm sure I will get up to speed very, very quickly and be right up there on the ovals as well. I'm sure about that. But I know it requires a lot of hard work, but I'm ready to give that.
I can't. Yeah, you mentioned Hinch. I can't think of a better teammate than James Hinchcliffe to have as your teammate in your first year in Indy, because he's a highly competitive guy. He doesn't give an inch, but he's also off track, one of them I've heard from the other drivers, just a great guy to be around, and just he's very open, he's confident in himself, but able to happily to pass on information and see who the best man wins. I mean, do you get that same impression?
100%. Like, I've only heard good things about him, both on and off track, and I met him briefly when I was in Indy last week, actually. But it was funny, on the airport, he was flying into Indy and I was just about leaving, and we sort of ran into each other on the airport in Indianapolis. So he just had a quick chat there. But yeah, all the things I hear about him is that he's a great guy. So obviously I'm going to try and learn as much as possible from him. And hopefully together we can really continue to push the team forward and make it a very successful team for the whole team.
Well, I got to ask you about you coming over here. Are you have you started shopping for a place to live? Are you looking looking for a muscle car that you can drive around and join the American culture?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Indianapolis will be my home, so there will be a lot of time spent there. But then, yeah, I think as far as I understand, I get a Honda. We're running on the Honda engine, so I'm gonna drive around the Honda. I'm gonna be a bit behind. When I was over there, I met up with Alex Rossi, and he had like a super big, it looked like a monster truck almost. so yeah, he was proper, like, it reminded me of Texas, seeing his car. So it was quite funny. But let's see. Let's give it a couple of months and then we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, like you say, I mean, you talked in November about enjoying Austin. Is there, I mean, you're going to be going all over the states, starting in Florida. Is there anywhere, forget the races for a second, if you do any get any time off, where you would like to go in America? Because I know that this is a long-term commitment. Is there any places you want to be or go and see?
Yeah, I mean, I love America. And, I haven't been around that much, but I've been to, LA, Florida, these kind of places, and obviously Texas, and all of that I really, really enjoy, but still haven't been to New York, Washington, these places. So it's still a lot for me to sort of explore. And that's also something I'm excited about, moving over there, to explore a bit more of America. And that's something that's also, apart from the racing, exciting aspects of it.
J- just personally for you, and without harping on about, you know, the fact that you may still be a reserve driver, I mean, you know, like so many drivers I've seen, the opportunity to go for wins. I mean, you won, you know, like I said, pole at Macau, you won the Japanese championship, and, you know, you've always had success in the junior ranks. But Formula One's tough when you don't have the car. So how much are you looking forward to the actual chance of being a racing driver and competitive again?
I can't wait. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm going to America and IndyCar. It's just the fact that it's like we said, you know, it's a driver's championship where everyone have the same opportunity starting the day. And, you know, F1 is great in many, many ways, but that's something that's always been there. But it's always been, you know, a bit of a problem that you only have a few cars that actually can win races. And as a racing driver and as, you know, like you say, going up through the ranks, you always fight for wins. And then now I've done 5 years in F1 and never really had the thought of winning even. And you really miss that. And I don't think I realized how much I missed that until now when I'm sort of preparing for my IndyCar career. So it's really something that gets me really excited and can't wait to get to, you know, St. Pete and do the first race and sort of know you have that opportunity again.
You know, Alexander Rossi came from F1 and won the Indy 500 and has been super successful. I mean, is that kind of the benchmark for F1 drivers?
Yeah, an old teammate of yours, yeah?
yeah. I was actually, Alex was reserve driver when I was in Caterham, I think. So yeah, we spent quite a lot of time over in Europe and now, yeah, I've been speaking to him quite a lot over the last few months, you know, about the IndyCar and everything. And for sure, you know, he's done a great job. And also now since Abu Dhabi, really, I've been looking back at all the races from last year in IndyCar and haven't been able to go through them all yet, but I've watched quite a few. And you know, Alex is definitely one of the top drivers. You can see that. And he's really doing great. So it's definitely a good benchmark to look at and try and sort of follow in his path.
Well, listen, Marcus, I know you've got a little bit of time off at home in Sweden before you come back. I know there's a bit of a testing ban in January. Do you think your first test properly, if you like, in anger, could be here at the Circuit of the Americas in February?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the plan is yet with testing. But yeah, definitely like the first proper with the official testing in COTA will be the first sort of proper to see where you are against the competitors. So yeah, really looking forward to that. And I think also IndyCars will be great on COTA. You know, it will be a great track for IndyCar racing. And I'm sure that it's going to be exciting racing over there.
Finally, I've got to ask you, because there's no question about it, the jewel in the crown is the Indy 500. We're going to be there for Speed City. How much, you know, is that on your bucket list of just wanting to be part of it?
No, it's going to be amazing. I think, you know, for every racing driver in any category, you always look at Indy 500 and it's like a dream just being part of it. And definitely for me, you know, I can't wait to get there. And it's going to be also my first oval race. So that's going to be special. But yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. And it's going to be very, very special.
Well, Marcus, we really appreciate you coming on the show. And of course, when you come to Austin, you got lots of friends here at Speed City. We can show you around the best barbecue, best Mexican food. You come stay at Jonathan's house.
Yeah. Very welcome.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Marcus, do you know what your number's going to be, just so we can get some more sort of social media interest in what you're doing?
Number 7, yeah.
Yep, you're going to be the number 7. All right, Marcus Ericsson in the Schmidt-Peterson number 7, taking on the Indy Series in 2019. Hey, listen, happy Christmas, and I hope it is one of the happiest Christmases for you, because I think the future looks really bright, and we're excited to have you over here next year. So thank you so much again, Marcus, that it's all worked out. Last question, do you think you will still keep the reserve drive open or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, to keep that open, definitely. But like I said, you know, I will commit 100% to the IndyCar and you know, do well over in IndyCar. And then I will keep the connections to Sauber and Alfa Romeo. But first priority will be the IndyCar and do well there.
Well, listen, they've lost out, because we're going to have another Flying Swede, Rosenqvist and Marcus Ericsson, going to take on Indy next year. Really looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Marcus Ericsson, for joining us on Speed City. And come on anytime when you've got some news.
Thank you.
There you go. Interesting. Too sweet, because Felix Rosenquist, he mentioned there, is driving with Scott Dixon. And actually, I tell you, both these guys have got a very strong chance of doing what I think what Rossi's been doing the last couple of seasons, which is making their way. Rossi was very quick to pick up ovals, as we know. And I don't think Marcus Ericsson's going to take too long either.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a young driver on the line, Jacob Abel, been racing in the USF4 Championship, headed to the Mazda 2000, or the Pro 2000 now, India, that's what they call it now. They're changing the name, but
new name.
He's with us.
We'll adjust.
Stick with us after the break. Listen to Speed City live in Austin. All right, we want to welcome Sean Walker from Haggerty Insurance. Sean, how's it going?
Hey, it's always going well.
All right, I know we talk a lot about specific cars and things, but this time it's going to sound a little bit more like an actual commercial, but I want to talk about the Haggerty Drivers Club, because this is really cool, actually.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. It's the next generation. It's the evolution of Haggerty. So you've heard me talk about us being a lifestyle company. This is the fruition of that lifestyle company look.
Yeah, and this is cool because it's, you know, you think of, the first thing you think of is that there's a big benefit, like you get the roadside assistance, and you think of other entities that do that. But just think of it as the coolest company ever to do this, because I can imagine if you guys are going to send some send a wrecker out for roadside service, you're going to send one that's going to be able to pick up a classic car without a problem.
It's not Bubba.
Yeah.
Not Bubba with a tow hitch. He's not gonna grab you by the bumper.
Whatever's hanging out.
Yeah. It's always going to be a flatbed with soft straps, and it's going to be a well-qualified driver that can help you get your nice car on the trailer.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the details of the Haggerty Drivers Club.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at three tiers of membership. First of all, I want to make it very clear, you do not have to have a car insured with Haggerty to be a part of the Haggerty Drivers Club. You can come on and just buy the membership.
Oh, nice.
So the membership's going to run $45 per year, $70 per year, or $175 per year. And it's going to depend on how many miles you want your towing package to include for your price tier.
So the distance to the
exactly
your service center. Or
so respectively, that's 15 miles, 60 miles, or 150 miles in each tier of our memberships.
Yeah, and that's cheap. But there's also other cool stuff like the Haggerty Evaluation Tool that we talk about a lot, where it's an incredible database of cars, of classic cars, that you can go check how the collector car market. You get some premium access to this with the Haggerty Drivers Club.
Yes, and when we say premium, we mean unfettered access. You can go in there and forecast cars. You can go in there and map out what a car is going to do, what it did last year, what it did 10 years ago. And you can get really as much information as you're willing to go get, and as much as we have for you. And that's in any tier of our Haggerty Drivers Club. But not only that, we're also going to be offering discounts on car stuff, like 10% off at Coker Tire, 10% off California car cover, 10% off at Reliable Transport, 50% off of DriveShare Rentals, 20% off at our Haggerty shop. And that's just the start. We're going to grow those discount programs.
Ooh, that's awesome. And also, what is it, exclusive events?
Exclusive events. So if we're doing a driving tour in the Austin Hill Country, you're not going to get that email unless you're part of our Haggerty Drivers Club. If we're having a race, if we're having a track day, if we're at a show and we're holding spots for people, you're going to need to have this membership to be involved.
There you go.
Awesome. All right. So how to find this, just go to Haggerty.com/drivers-club and check it all out. Sean Walker, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Talk 1370.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we had one of the world's best race car drivers on the show earlier. We had Marcus Ericsson, and now we've got one
the
of
next
the, young,
candidate.
The next one of the young. And
he's
up
on
and,
the way to meet him.
He's that's right. We want to welcome Jacob Abel to the show. Welcome to Speed City, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good. I was just listening. I think I got on a little bit early and was listening to Marcus. It's going to be a little bit of a hard act to follow.
Hey, you're up to it. That's all right, man.
Hey, mate, you could be racing him in a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal.
Well, let's start with that. Let's start with what you're doing this season coming up and what your hopes are.
Yeah, so this season coming up, we're going into Indy. I think it's Indy Pro 2000 is what they changed it to, a little bit of a wordy name.
Yeah,
Pro Mazda. Now it's Now it's Indy Pro 2000. But so, yeah, we're going up into that. We just came out of a season, almost racing a full season in F4 and then a couple one-off races in USF 2000, which is the step below what we're racing next year. And then we also did a few one-off races in the F3 America series, which was a brand new series this year.
Yeah. And you're racing for Able. Now, I presume that is that Dad's team?
Yes, sir. Yeah, now, it is Dad's team.
I'm going to say, how do you feel about that? I know no one, you know, I mean, candidly, is that a tough one? I mean, you know, I think of Marco Andretti. That's never been easy for him. But how is it working for Dad?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's interesting. It's obviously a little bit different. But at the same time, and honestly, when it comes to driving and engineering, my dad sort of steps aside and then sort of lets the people we've put in place take those roles. I mean, we have a couple really experienced engineers, a really experienced driver coach who sort of take over that role. But yeah, it's also really cool at the same time, because if you do get a good result, you're doing it for your dad, and it's that little bit of extra push.
Yeah, I can awesome. See that. Yeah, Lance Stroll's got the same equation.
Say, yeah,
but also it's a. I mean, I'm sure you're very proud to be part of that, because he could choose anybody. I mean, you just wrapped up Able Motorsports, that is the F3 title with Kyle Kirkwood, right?
Yeah, so that was a really good season. So we started with Kyle early on in the season, and I think we confirmed that he was going to race with us, I think, like 2 days before the first series test and only like a week before the first race. So we were really fortunate to have him. He's obviously a really good driver. If you guys have seen all his previous results, he obviously won USF 2000 and then F3 with us. So that was really good. He's super impressive. And then I jumped in towards the end because we looked at it and we were still behind in the team championship, even though we'd won pretty much every single race. So that was a bit frustrating. So I filled the seat of a second car that we got off a lease from the manufacturer. And then we finished out, I think I finished out the last three rounds, I want to say it was. And then we ended up winning both the team championship and the driver's championship.
Well, this has got to be exciting for you, because thinking about, you know, the F3, F4 series here in the United States, they're newer. And it obviously super exciting, but the Mazda, I keep calling it that, but the road to Indy.
It'll take us a while to get over that.
Yeah, the road to Indy is a pretty clear path, and it's a very established ladder system. And that's got to be exciting for you, because you've done really well. And stepping into this, you got a pretty clear path.
Yeah, so I mean, the F4 and F3 series are both great series. F4 especially, if you're coming right out of karting, it's a pretty budget series. I think that's why you're seeing such high numbers. Almost 40 cars in some races, which is absurd. But yeah, so I think that's honestly a perfect step out of karting, just because you get that little bit of downforce experience, because it does have wings, so it's a little bit faster as well to say sort of an F1600 car. And then the racing and the fields are obviously very big, and it teaches you a lot with racecraft. And then the cars are relatively simple to set up, but they still give you some options and let you realize what changes do.
Well, so how much testing have you done any yet? Are you about to do some testing for the 2000 series?
So yeah, for next year we've done, I think it's only about 3 days of testing. We got 1 day at Roebling Road. That was a private test. And then we went straight from there to Homestead Speedway, which was for the series test. They actually had a smaller series test in early December, and both Kyle and I drove at that. And then, yeah, so that's about it for now. And then we're planning some more private testing, and then also there's another series test before the first race in March.
And how different is the car, I mean, compared to what you've driven in F4? I mean, tell us a little bit about the specs and what it's like to drive.
Yeah, it's obviously a really good car. It's very similar to the USF 2000 car. Just it's got bigger wings, bigger tires, and more horsepower. So yeah, it's obviously a really fun car to drive. It's super light compared to something, say, like the F3 car. All these cars have their own strengths, but yeah, the Pro Mazda is really fun to drive. It's super light, super nimble. It's got a really stiff platform, so it's just super fast and super light. It's an awesome car to drive.
How much downforce is it compared to what you've been driving?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's something similar to the F3. Definitely more than the USF 2000 and the F4, but similar to the F3, but just it's a lot lighter than the F3. So that's, that's one of the reasons it's a good bit faster.
That sounds like it's fun. Yeah.
And for those listening who don't know the road to Indy, basically you're on that path now. And the idea would be you do one, maybe 2 years in this and then move up to Indy Lights and then hopefully a shot at Indy, right?
Yeah, so I mean, we're jumping a little bit into the deep end here, going into next season, but yeah, so we might do probably 2 years at this. Use the first year as sort of a learning year, and then go for the championship that second year around. So we're gonna probably do 2 years at this, and then see where it goes from there.
Now, you haven't announced another teammate yet. Is there any chance Kyle, he's a good friend of the show, could be joining you in the team?
So we're definitely looking at Kyle. We're hoping to be fortunate enough to get him, but he's obviously
he's a hot property,
a valuable asset. So he's gonna be hard to get, but yeah, we're definitely looking into him, and then we have a couple other drivers on the line that we're looking at as well.
Cool.
Yeah, it's got to be super exciting to be putting all that together right now. Are you guys stepping up like this? Has this been? You know, anybody that's in the F3, F4 series, I think one of their dreams is Formula One, but IndyCar's got to be on the radar of you guys. Is this really the dream?
Yeah, IndyCar for me at least has always been the dream. I grew up watching it. One of my dad's good friends raced IndyCar. So I've just grown up around the track and grown up around IndyCar. And that's been the only really dream for me is just getting to IndyCar. I know F1, that'd obviously be really cool, but it's obviously a super lofty goal and very few make it there. I mean, and that's, I think, why you're seeing so many drivers come from F1 to IndyCar is one of the reasons is because of how equal all the cars are and literally anyone in the field can win. And that's one of the coolest, most attractive aspects about it that I think.
Well, one of the things we heard Fernando Alonso say last year was just the environment of the IndyCar series and the venues, having the access to the fan. Everybody's really accessible and you know, the drivers are friendly with each other in the paddock. Just the environment was totally different. Does he echo that correctly?
Yeah, I think he's spot on with that. One thing about COTA at the F1 races is we were racing there, but we couldn't even get down into the paddock. So that was kind of funny, and IndyCar is the complete opposite. I mean, you can walk all through the paddock. Some of the teams will even like let you in and show you around the tent and all things like that. And I think that's one of the really cool aspects too, is it's just a lot more open, and I don't want to say friendly because I think F1 is as well, but it's definitely, very open.
Yeah. That was your chance to your Les's question was your chance to say that Fernando Alonso was wrong, but I guess you went and stuck with that.
I know.
Speaking of COTA though, you got a leg up on a lot of the IndyCar drivers. You've had a lot of laps on COTA, and they're going to be coming here in a few months, and you got a leg up on them.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, we aren't going to race at COTA. I really wish we were, obviously, because I do have that time at the track.
Where are you looking forward to racing?
So there are a few of them, obviously. I think so going into the series, it's going to be a little bit of an eye opener. I haven't been to an oval. I haven't been to a street course. So, and I haven't been to Portland or Laguna Seca. So most of the tracks on the schedule are completely new to me, and to learn them in a pro Mazda car is going to be interesting to say the least, but I'm feeling pretty confident. But with that, some of the tracks I'm looking forward to, definitely going to be St. Petersburg and Toronto, just the street courses. I'm really interested to see how I do there and how I like them. I feel like I really will enjoy them. And then a track that I sort of call home, Mid-Ohio, is a track that I always look forward to racing at. It's one of my favorites for sure.
So do you get on? We've been talking about simulators a lot. Jonathan, we built him a gaming PC. and do you do a lot of...
Jacob, you're fine for now.
Yeah, his iRacer. Oh,
there is no threat.
Yeah. Are you doing a lot of sim work for all these different tracks?
Yeah, I mean, just today, I just got off the sim, actually. So yeah.
What do you use?
I'm on it pretty constantly. iRacing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a popular.
What do you do? What do you use for the hardware? Do you know?
So I think I have it's like a Fanatec or Fanatec.
Yep,
we
have Fanatec.
That's what.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and then I have the pedals to go with that and the shifter too. So,
yeah, we had Hannah Zellers on a few weeks ago. That's exactly what she's using as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a pretty good platform. iRacing itself is just so good. All the tracks are laser scanned in, as you guys probably know, and you probably hear this from most drivers, but it really is an awesome way to learn tracks. I mean, like, it's going to give me a leg up going into tracks like Laguna Seca or stuff like that I haven't really been to.
Sure.
And we have not the most track time to get used to it, and all the drivers have been there before pretty much except for me. So I think that's really going to help the transition.
All right, we've asked you all the easy questions, Nack. So who's going to win the Indy Championship? who's going to win Formula One next year? Who's going to win the Indy Championship?
Oh, man. that's a hard one. IndyCar?
Yeah.
That's very open.
I can see Rossi.
Yeah, yep. That's a good call.
Rossi doing well there. He did really well this year, just came up a little bit short at the end.
If you just follow his trajectory, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I know. I wish it really is unfortunate. If it was different, I would be saying Robert Wickens right now, but obviously that's not the case. But for F1, I think, I mean, it's hard to look past Lewis. I think Charles Leclerc is going to do really well. I think that's going to be really interesting to see a new face up there.
Do you think he'll challenge Vettel straight away?
Maybe not straight away. I think towards the end of the season, I think for sure. But I'm not quite sure about straight away.
All right, we got to ask you one last question. So one of our favorite questions on Speed City. And you know, when we ask the big sponsored drivers, their answer is always, oh, well, it's the company car. Well, so what do you drive every day? What kind of fun? Please tell me you have a fun car that you drive every day.
He drives Bill's car.
A Volkswagen GTI.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Proper boy racer.
That's better than Alexander Rossi's Silverado answer. So yeah.
Yeah. And what's Dad's favorite car? What's he got?
Oh, I think he just drives the Ford Expedition.
Fair enough.
Honestly, yeah.
Well, at 17, you're listening to 17-year-old Jacob Abel, who will be racing in the Pro. What's it called now? Pro Matt. Well, we'll call it a Pro Matt.
Indy Pro 2000.
There you go.
Yeah, Indy Pro 2000. There it is.
For Abel Racing, so he's racing for the family. No teammate has been announced yet, but we wish you all the best. And please keep in touch. At 17, you definitely are on our radar now as being another young American on the way up. And Indy needs more Americans. Joseph Newgarden and a few others are flying the flag, like Alex Rossi, but we need more. So we wish you well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Jacob. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Merry Christmas.
I love it. All these young drivers, you know, 13-year-old, now 17-year-olds. I love seeing the next generation.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we've now got, three different teams with father-son relationships. That's kind of interesting. Marco Andretti, Lawrence Stroll, and Lance Stroll, and now the Abels.
I love this song. Have y'all heard this song? It's what does it say? I like a girl with a long skirt. Wait, here it is. Yeah, I can't remember all of it. It's a great song. Anyway, all right, we're going to go to break. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk Formula One predictions, IndyCar predictions, and more. Back after these messages. Cigarettes. I want a girl with the right allocations, who is fast and thorough and sharp as a tack. She's playing with her jewelry.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellers.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellers Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellers doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellers White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellers, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Hello, I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
So we just heard the Ducati Austin spot. I took my daughter shopping all day, and we stopped over at Ducati Austin.
Getting paid to start off in Ducati? That's awesome.
Yeah, and I put her on a...
You fool.
She saw a Panigale, right? And it kind of sounds like her name a little bit. She goes, "Oh, I like that." So I said, "Hop on." So she sat on that, took photos, and...
Man, that was your first mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I'm sure mom would
like. I got myself a really nice shirt. I tell you what I really like about Ducati. It doesn't go down there, down on Breaker Lane, because even if you're looking for just a simple present for Christmas, they've got some fantastic apparel there.
Oh, the clothes and the shoes are awesome.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I just refreshed some Dainese gear. Yeah.
Ask for Kathy. She'll help you out.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right, guys. I want to talk about, speaking of local Austin stuff, I want to talk about the beers and gears this week. We're doing it a little bit early. And this is our car show we've been doing. And it's
and bike
and
show.
And bikes.
And bike show.
Yeah, in fact, Ducati will probably be there again Wednesday.
Yeah. I tell you, Celis Brewery is really turning into a fun place. Their venue, they hope to have it open for Valentine's. We'll check that
the
out
bigger
as far
venue.
As the beer garden. Yeah. But this week, Wednesday night, come join us. Especially if you have something red to drive, two or four wheel or anything else.
So I can bring my sleigh then.
Yeah, you can. Bring your sled, man. Cheech and Chong. All righty. So Kirkroot Designs, that upper end jeweler, is going to be giving away some cufflinks. They gave away that sapphire pendant last time on a necklace. One of the ladies won it. And so, guys, come on. Here's some cufflinks.
That was a nice gift.
But listen to these cufflinks, though.
Yeah, these cufflinks are in the shape of a V engine.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you turn the flywheel, the pistons go up and down.
Yeah!
That's so cool. How's that for a gearhead?
Oh, we got to tweet out a picture of those because they're really a video because they're very cool.
Yeah, and then...
I want to get a pair of those.
Yeah, Races to You. Relive your childhood in high-tech fashion. And I'm talking about slot cars.
Oh, yeah.
And these are so incredibly cool. Warren from Races to You is going to bring out a drag strip and set it up in the brewery.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to run some drag races.
That's
so come
cool.
Check out the latest technology. He'll tell you all about digital lane changing, all of the new features that are available, complete data logging. So if you really want to get big time into it.
Of course.
Why wouldn't it?
Cheaper. Yeah, no kidding. Right Over Crest, sometimes called ROC. Check them out. They're going to be there, and they're going to give away a photo session. Not just any photo session. They have this beautiful studio here in Austin now that focuses on videoing and photographing your motor toys.
Yeah, they have a huge studio where you can drive
your motorcycles.
Yeah,
things like that. Very professionally
done.
That'd
be a cool Christmas present. You know, think about that.
I think we should get a bunch of Vito's Ducatis photographed.
Seriously, a photo shoot of your car. You know,
that's what's going to be given away. Those drawings will take place part of the way through the evening. So come on out. Show up. The parking lot fills quickly. The gates open at 5 into the parking lot. So
this Wednesday.
This
the 19th,
Wednesday,
yeah.
Absolutely. Going to be a lot of fun.
The best thing about it, though, is the
cars.
We
have some special guests coming.
Okay.
Bringing some special cars.
Yep.
I'll say one of the very first new Ford GTs on the road.
Ooh.
We're expecting it to be there. He's going to try to get it there. He's got some obligations as well.
That'd be nice. If you've never seen one of those,
I haven't seen one of those.
It's the absolute brand new
$500,000 GT40? No.
We've got a couple options. We've got another. We've got a Carrera GT coming. You know, that's one of my faves.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
It'll be there. We've got a few others coming. There'll be some classics, some real cool stuff. So we're going to have a theme of red along the front of the brewery. But hey, bring out what you got, even if it's not red.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There was a $10,000 Mini there that was one of the most popular cars there.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't have to be the mega buck cars either.
That's right. Hagerty Classic Car helps put on a great event with us, and it is a fun event. Come on out.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. All right, guys, let's talk about Formula One 2019.
Yep. I'm missing Jenny Gag. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
I'm missing Jenny. She was just on the last promo.
I saw you smiling.
Her dulcet tones.
Her promo came on. So let me ask you, boys, is anybody going to challenge Mercedes and Hamilton this year?
No.
Okay, that's less says no.
It will depend on what happens at the first four Grand Prix.
Okay.
And
can't you say that every year?
No, but I mean, you're right. I mean, Les is right. It's very hard to look past Lewis Hamilton at the moment. I think what will be more interesting about Formula One will be the rivalries, inter-team rivalries. I think Bottas, yeah, after this season, is going to come back. If he doesn't come back fired up as a Finn, then, you know, it could be his last season in Formula One, and I think he knows it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see Vettel versus Leclerc.
Yeah, that's going to be...
I think that's really interesting.
The biggest one of those.
Yeah. And likewise, Verstappen at Red Bull, what's he going to do? Carlos Sainz, you know, there's going to be some interesting rivalries.
I got some questions for you guys. So will Renault win a race? Will Haas podium? And will Ricciardo win a race?
Haas will podium.
Yeah. I say Renault, Ricciardo, but Haas will podium.
If Renault wins a race, it's because of Ricciardo.
Yeah. And what about...
He'll win Monaco.
Ooh, yeah. That's probably a decent prediction. So I wrote in my notes, will Seb overcome himself and potentially win a championship? Because I think that's his biggest battle.
It's a massive year for him, too, because he's finally got somebody, and I don't mean this rudely to Raikkonen, but I really do think this kid's going to push him around a little bit, and I do think he's the coming man. And Vettel's got it's a really important year for Vettel next year, and I really do think that Ferrari need to come to play, and they need to be even stronger than they were. But I think they were strong enough to win the championship this year, and they dropped the ball.
Well, I think it was more Seb than, I mean, how many mistakes did
I know
Vettel make this year?
Yeah, he's got some cleaning up to do.
Well, and I think it's mental cleaning up. I mean, he when he left Red Bull, four times world champion, right? And thinking that I'm as good as anybody that's ever raced, probably. And he's had to deal with, you know, maybe he's not as good as he thought, but you know, maybe this is the season, maybe next year he kind of overcomes that and goes, "Okay, I've slipped a little bit, but now I'm going to have to battle my way up and prove to everybody." I don't know. It's a total speculation. But having Leclerc there, it's going to be totally fascinating. And what about Leclerc? Is he going to prove that he could be the next world champion, or is he going to do a Van Dorn?
I agree with Jacob Abel. I think it's going to take him more than... I think it's going to take him... Next season will be a good season for him, but I think he's going to be dominated by Vettel next year. But then the year after that, I think we should be in for some fireworks.
I'm ready to see Haas. Speaking of trajectories, I talked about a minute ago. What if Haas keeps going? If the trajectory they had, then they could be, you know, potentially battling for fourth.
My fear for Haas is that Sauber will become the junior Ferrari team, not them.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that's a good thought.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh.
All right, guys, we got to run.
Wednesday night. Yep. Wednesday night at Celis Brewery in North Austin. Hope to see you there.
All right, check us out on our website and our social media. We'll have all the updates about that and plenty more. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.